What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 134, and today we're going to be talking about cancer metastasis. So that's basically how cancer spreads throughout the body. And we've talked about cancer a lot over the past maybe year or so. And this is really, hopefully, one of the last podcasts we have to do on cancer because it gets real frustrating doing cancer research. So this is something I am passionate about, and I find out I'm passionate about it every time I look into it because it makes me mad, and it makes me happy also when I connect some dots. So the first thing I want to talk about, which really just hit me so hard when I was looking through all these notes and reading all these papers, was a mental fallacy. It's called cognitive dissonance, and me and Tom have talked about this a lot. And basically, it's when someone gets presented with data that contradicts what they believe to be true. So seeing this new information makes them feel uncomfortable, so they try and explain it away rather than look at the new information in an unbiased way. And this is exactly what's been going on in the cancer research field for the last 100 years. And I understand it because it's a completely human thing to do. If you've gone to med school for the last, 7 years, if you're a cancer researcher, you have multiple PhDs in various, biological fields. I get it. You've been taught something and you believe it to be true with your core, but the information I'm going to present today and the information we've presented on multiple podcasts, like I've said over the past year or so now, it's honestly undeniable. You feel the same way, Tom? It's crazy reading this stuff.
It is, but I totally get it. I mean, because let's face it, most doctors, they're smart people. They're being taught by other smart people. They're, like, dedicating years of their lives and, like, have no social life so they can study to become a doctor. And it's not like they're dumb. It's just that they're taught the wrong thing. It's like they are dedicating so much time to this. And pretty much from their point of view, it's like, why would I have spent all this time learning this if it wasn't true, if it wasn't right?
Exactly. Yeah, and that's just, and like I said, it's just a human thing. Like, we both understand it, but man, they have so much power in their opinions, because obviously they lead the narrative, and they definitely control the standard of care in the cancer world, that this cognitive dissonance that's been going on for so long is honestly really hurting and killing a lot of people. And like I said, I'm going to be talking about cancer metastasis today. And I'm going to be comparing the current somatic theory, which I'm going to use the term somatic theory and gene theory interchangeably. That's commonly referred both ways. So I'm going to compare the gene theory to the metabolic theory of cancer in terms of how they explain metastasis. And this is another way that clearly shows the gene theory is wrong. And I really think it's going to be the nail in the coffin for the gene theory of cancer. Like I've said, we've already covered multiple ways that shows the metabolic theory is correct. For example, we have a whole podcast on how the ketogenic diet, which is a low-carb diet, can help prevent cancer when viewed through the metabolic theory. And there are numerous studies showing the benefits of the ketogenic diet and cancer survival. The somatic theory can't explain these findings at all and offers no dietary options to help with cancer. We've recently talked about cancer screenings, and basically they just don't work. And that's because their foundation is built on the somatic theory. If we were to look at the metabolic markers like blood sugar and insulin levels, then maybe we could catch cancer early. But that's not what we do, because doctors are told and taught cancer is a genetic disease. And just recently we did a podcast on biopsies. And biopsies are the worst of all. They're actually dangerous. They promote metastasis. And the only reason we perform biopsies is because of the somatic theory of cancer. If we viewed cancer through the metabolic theory, biopsies would be unnecessary. And now we're going to tackle metastasis. And no matter what theory you believe, the steps needed to be taken for metastasis to occur are the same. So I'm going to look into how each theory explains metastasis to see which argument is more sound. And just for a quick reminder, the somatic theory is what's currently taught at medical school. It is a current dogma. And it states that cancer is caused by a series of random mutations in certain cancer-causing genes. Eventually, with enough mutations, these cells become cancerous. And the metabolic theory, which again is the one we prescribe to, states that cancer is caused by a defect in metabolism. Our mitochondria are the power plants of our cells. They are the organelle responsible for producing energy. They are also the cell, or the part of the cell, that is in control of something called apoptosis, which is cell suicide. When these organelles become dysfunctional, this signal to die becomes broken, and these normal healthy cells switch their metabolism from aerobic to anaerobic, and in the process have opportunity to become cancerous. And you'll hear the term anaerobic and fermentation kind of used interchangeably as well. But that's just, you want to describe that a little bit? They don't use oxygen, which is aerobic, when they actually could be.
Yes, any time that oxygen is present, cells with healthy mitochondria will use aerobic respiration because it's a lot more efficient. That's using oxygen to produce a lot of ATP. You're producing so many more ATP than when you're using anaerobic, which is fermentation or glycolysis by itself. And it's very, very primitive. It creates a lot more harmful byproducts as well. So not only is it more inefficient, but it also causes more damage. Exactly. So the only time our body would use it is if we're sprinting or something like that, or we're in a fight, like we're doing some sort of intense exercise, like when it's necessary to produce energy in an instant. But if not, you want to use that cleaner, slower, more efficient fuel source, which is aerobic.
Which is aerobic. Yep, exactly. That's a good summary. So yeah, basically these are the two battling theories right now, and these theories look at metastasis in completely different ways. One way, the gene theory, makes no sense, and you're going to see that shortly, and the metabolic theory makes perfect sense. And I've mentioned this before in a lot of the cancer podcasts we've had, but in my opinion, cancer is not some super disease. It is not smart, it is dumb. And that is a problem with the current treatment. We treat this disease with too much respect. We always assume the answer to the problem must be complicated, when in reality, the answer is right in front of our faces. And you'll see the answer to metastasis is not that complicated. But to start, what is metastasis? So metastasis is the general term used to describe the spread of cancer cells from the primary tumor to surrounding tissues and to distant organs. And this is what leads to most cancer deaths. It is estimated that metastasis is responsible for about 90% of the cancer deaths. And a very key point is that this estimate hasn't changed in more than 50 years. So just think about that. The primary way cancer kills people, metastasis, we haven't found a way to reduce that or stop it in 50 years. All the money dumped into cancer research and we have nothing to show for it. That's just crazy.
Yeah, not to mention all the advances that we have in technology, and looking through statistics and stuff like that, we have such a higher ability to do that. We have AI learning that can look through this stuff so much faster than any human can, and yeah, we still made zero progress.
Zero progress. Cancer is still killing people left and right. So I'm arguing that maybe our current hypothesis on cancer is wrong. You know, maybe we should stop looking at the gene theory and start really focusing on the metabolic theory, because maybe then we can actually get some solutions. And we're always told cancer is complicated. We need more time, we need more money to find a cure. At what point do we say enough is enough? And I feel like we're at that point right now. So just to start, these are the specific steps that a tumor needs to take to spread and become metastatic. This is completely independent of the theory in which you think is right or wrong. So all these steps need to happen in this precise order. So the first step is the cancer cells must detach from the primary tumor. Second step, they must get into the circulatory and lymphatic systems. Third, they have to evade immune attack. Fourth, they have to break out of the blood supply at a distant capillary bed. And fifth, they have to invade and proliferate in distant organs. So as you can see, this is a long and complicated process. This takes multiple precise actions. And you can think of each of these steps as a rate-limiting step. If one of them doesn't occur, the cancer will not spread. It needs to pass five precise steps in the right order in order to metastasize. And I want to emphasize how precise these steps need to be, because it's going to come up a little later on. And let's look at how the somatic theory or the gene theory tries to explain these steps. So their explanation is abbreviated as EMT, and that stands for epithelial to mesenchymal transition. And you can think of that as saying skin cell to stem cell transition, basically a cell going in reverse. Normally a cell, when it's forming, goes from something that is undifferentiated, like a stem cell, to a cell that is differentiated, a skin cell. The EMT hypothesis states that metastatic cells arise from epithelial stem cells that eventually transform the epithelial cell into a tumor cell with mesenchymal features. So basically a normal cell turning into a tumor cell with stem cell features. That's what that means. And this idea comes from the findings that many cancers arise in epithelial tissues where abnormalities in cell-to-cell and cell-to-matrix interactions occur during tumor progression. Epithelial cells is a real broad category for a bunch of different cells, but you could think of it like the outer layer of our skin. That's epithelial cells. But these cells line every hollow tube in our body. So every blood vessel is lined with epithelial cells. Basically, they're everywhere. And adaptation of the EMT into the gene theory of cancer suggests that the metastasis is the endpoint of a series of genomic changes. This then provided the cancer cells with a growth advantage over normal cells. And really, if you just think about it, it's difficult to understand how a collection of gene mutations, many of which are random and harmful, could produce cells with the capacity to perform all the steps necessary to spread. Because that makes no sense. Can you put that into terms for me a little bit, Tom?
I'm trying to, but it just doesn't make sense because it's complete backwards of how like cells evolve. Like they don't go from differentiated to undifferentiated. That's not how like cells work in our body. And it also seems really strange how all this like random collection of gene mutations not only act in one person, but act in millions of people worldwide all the time.
Exactly. And they make the cell better and stronger and not worse. Makes no sense. And so, yeah, remember those five steps earlier? The somatic theory states that a bunch of random harmful mutations results in a cell that is bigger, stronger, and badder than all the surrounding tumor cells. So this would be quite a feat for a cell with a disorganized genome. And that's not even the end of the stupidity. So the EMT is used to explain the first part of metastasis, so a cell breaking away, basically. But when the cell, this metastatic cell, embeds somewhere else, it has to turn back into a tumor. A cancer cell that becomes metastatic has different capabilities than a tumor cell. If that metastatic cell wants to grow again in the new site, it needs to revert back to the normal cancer cell so that it can grow and spread like normal cancer. It needs to revert back to the epithelial cell. And the rebirth of epithelial characteristics at distant secondary sites is referred to as mesenchymal epithelial transition, MET. And is basically thought to be the exact reversal of EMT. So all the completely random mutations that occurred to allow the first step, EMT, to happen, now goes in reverse. Another set of completely random mutations allows these metastatic cells reverting back to the epithelial cells. Like, I'm hoping you go back, re-listen to that, how ridiculous that is. I'm hoping people understand that.
So you need a bunch of random mutations to occur, and then you need those random mutations to unoccur?
In very specific ways, both times.
And not only that, but it has to happen just randomly. Nobody knows how it works, and it happens in a very, very large percentage of the population.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's just crazy. But that's how people who believe the gene theory, and that's how the current, like, if you go to med school, that's what they'll teach. They'll teach EMT and MET to describe cancer metastasis. There's 100 papers out there. Trust me, I've read a couple of them. And like everything else, I'm going to link papers on the website. So TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. I'll link the papers I read for this podcast, and I really recommend you read them as well. It'll take a while probably, and you might have 50, you know, Google tabs open just for definitions of these long-ass words, because I know that's exactly what I had to do, but it's worth it to really understand what's going on here.
So does the phrase, like, random mutations, does that basically just mean we have no idea?
Yeah, we just don't know what order or how or why they even happen, but they happen. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like, okay, thanks, bro. Like, you're not really helping me. You're not. That doesn't really say anything, you know?
That's the basis of their theory. Okay. It just happens. We don't know.
It just happens, yeah. And no clear explanation has appeared and or been discussed on how the genomic instability and multiple point mutations and chromosomal rearrangements responsible for the cancer mesenchymal transition, so that first part, could be reversed or suppressed when the tumor cells reform the epithelial phenotype at distant sites. So no explanation has been given for that the MET part of this, like, explanation. They just say it happens. So that's just complete BS in my opinion, but that is what's taught. That is what people will preach. That's what any oncologist out there who went to school was taught. And that's just sad. It's just wrong in my opinion. When I read this, I was thinking, like, really? I was thinking, this is what people believe? And like Tom said, these people aren't dumb. You know, it takes a certain type of smarts, at least, to become a doctor or some sort of researcher with a few PhDs. Like, I'm not saying these people are stupid, but the cognitive dissonance to believe this shit blows my mind. You're going to see why, because there's holes I'm going to poke into this theory right now that blow it out of the water, really. So this EMT process that I talked about earlier, so epithelial to mesenchymal transition, it's been shown that this doesn't even need to happen for metastasis to occur. The massive complexity associated with the EMT hypothesis is largely man-made, especially in attempting to describe the phenomenon as a gene-driven process. If one looks closely, many of the gene expression profiles observed in metastatic cancers are similar to those associated with the function of macrophages or other cells of the immune system. And this is where we need to be looking. Look into cells that already have the capacity to do these steps needed for metastasis, not making this crazy sort of, like, explanation, this crazy story up to describe how cancer spreads. Look into cells that can already do that job. And also, the EMT theory can't explain the seed and soil hypothesis. And this is, when I read this, this blew my mind as well, because this specific characteristic of cancer has been known since 1889. And every test we've put this theory through, it passes. So that's over 100 years of scrutiny, and this theory still holds true. Yet the EMT and the genetic theory of cancer can't explain for it at all. And this is the type of stuff that infuriates me. Nothing about what I'm saying is new. All this information is out there, but people making decisions are either blatantly ignorant or 100% deceptive and trying to push their agenda forward no matter the price. And me and Tom have talked about this a lot. We really don't know what the answer is to that question.
I think for the overwhelming majority, it's that they are blatantly ignorant. And then the few that do actually know this information just have cognitive dissonance and just refuse to accept it.
Yeah.
I think the amount that are deceptive is very, very small. Because, like, if you're being deceptive about this shit, like, you are so evil.
I know, but I mean, they say money's root of all evil. This industry makes a ton of money off people being sick.
I mean, yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know. It's just, I think the older I get, the more, like, cynical I think about it. But it's still, but who knows, right? I think Tom is right. I think most people are ignorant to this because it's just, even doctors, even researchers, their profession most of the time is just a job. You know what I mean? They go in, they clock in, they clock out.
Well, Thomas Seyfried, who's like now the go-to guy for the whole metabolic theory of cancer, he was completely ignorant about all this information until he stumbled across it himself. Like what was he, a geneticist? Like a PhD geneticist? Yeah. Something along those lines? Mm-hmm. Like, he was a smart guy, cancer researcher, so somebody that should know everything there is to know about cancer had to stumble across this himself. So while he's going through all those years of schools, he was never taught any of this.
No. And it's not like the stuff they were taught. They were told, hey, take this with a grain of salt. They taught, like, this is what's going on.
Yeah, I think a lot of stuff that you learn in medical school, like, you know it's going to be wrong eventually. It's just, like, our understanding of the science constantly changes.
Yeah, but no one thinks that way. When they think they're taught something, they think it's true till the day they die, most of the time. It's easier to fool someone than to convince them they've been fooled.
And it's also just easier to go with everybody else than to go against the grain. And because if you're wrong going against the grain, you could lose your license, you could lose your whole like livelihood.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah, so it's just safe.
It's just safe, yeah, I get it. But yeah, to go back, so the seed and soil hypothesis, that came from an English surgeon named Stephen Paget, and it states that metastasis isn't random. So that cancer spreading throughout the body follows a pattern. The outcome of metastasis was not due to chance, but to that certain tumor cells, which he equated to the seed, has specific affinity for the tissues of certain organs, which he equated to the soil. He concluded that metastasis formed only when the seed and the soil were compatible, that metastasis to distant organs from numerous types of cancers were site-specific. And again, this has been proven time and time again, yet the gene theory can't explain it away at all, because their theory is based on random mutations. There shouldn't be a pattern to this, and there is when it comes to metastasis.
So is the seed and soil hypothesis basically saying that cancer can't spread unless the new site where cancer is going to spread to is pretty much primed and set up to support cancer cells?
Yeah, it's saying that, like, if you have... So, just to touch on it a little bit, I read an entire paper on the seed and soil hypothesis, and I broke it down into, like, four paragraphs. So if you really want to learn more about seed and soil, I'll link it on the podcast, because it's actually super confusing, but that's the gist of it. But it's saying if you have, like, lung cancer, it's going to spread to this site for this reason, that it's a pattern to it. It's not just going to randomly go to your toe, even though the gene theory says that it can potentially spread anywhere.
Okay. So, because... Dr. Jason Funk lightly talked about this in the Cancer Code book. So what I think it's saying is that, because we talked about this with the metastasis podcast, was that last week or a couple weeks ago, that one of the problems with biopsies is that you're creating damage, and that damage increases blood flow. That increased blood flow most likely is going to come with a lot of glucose and other nutrients, along with a lot of growth factors. So what I'm assuming is that the new site where cancer is about to spread probably has damage, probably is going to have more blood flow going to that area with those growth factors and all that going along with it.
Yeah, you can think of that site as like a fertile soil, because the seed is the cancer cell and the new site is the soil. So yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that.
Okay.
Yeah. And the metabolic theory, it can explain this by looking into the immune system to find cells capable of metastasis. So immune cells have to go home, and I put that in quotes, in a sense, to be replenished. And these home sites are the places certain cancers metastasize. And this has been proven in mouse models. Only mouse tumor cells expressing characteristics of macrophages show systemic metastasis. And according to the metabolic theory, metastatic cancers arise from respiratory insufficiency in myeloid cells or their lineage. And myeloid cells is just a broad category for immune cells, so like macrophages, dendritic cells, lymphocytes, things like that. So the metabolic theory states that only a certain class of cells within a tumor with unique capabilities can become cancerous And this has been shown in studies that radiolabel tumors to track how they spread throughout the body. And this is a pretty long quote that I pulled, but it summarizes it perfectly. So, quote, studies show that within 24 hours after entry into the circulation, less than 0.1% of tumor cells are still viable. And of that, less than 0.01% of these cells, when introduced into circulation, survive to produce metastasis. Therefore, only a tiny amount of cells in a primary tumor can give rise to metastasis. This prompted the question of whether the development of metastasis represents the fortuitous survival of growth of very few tumor cells, or whether it represents a selective growth of unique subpopulations of malignant cells that are endowed with special properties, end quote. Obviously, the evidence points us in the direction that it's the tumor cells with special properties that survive and have the capacity to become metastatic. These are cells of our immune system, like macrophages. Macrophages are among the most versatile cells in the body with respect to their ability to migrate, change shape, and to secrete growth factors and cytokines. These macrophage behaviors are also the recognized behaviors of metastatic cells. The origin of metastatic cancer from myeloid cells could account for many of the mesenchymal properties of metastatic cancers. It is not therefore necessary to invoke EMT to account for metastasis. And normally, macrophages are capable of expressing all the hallmarks of metastatic cancer cells, including tissue evasion, release of pro-angiogenic molecules and cytokines, survival in hypoxic and necrotic environments, invasion into the circulatory and lymphatic systems, and releasing from these systems at distant locations. An EMT, which again, that's just what the gene theory uses to explain metastasis, is not necessary to explain these behaviors, as they are already the evolutionary program behaviors of macrophages. And I love that this is what it came down to, because we talk about evolution all the time. These cells were designed to do this job. So of course, they're the ones doing it.
So whoever came up with the EMT is basically saying that it's not macrophages, these cells that exist in our body that are designed to do all these things. It's the random gene mutation of these cells reverting back into an ancient cell.
Yeah.
Or an undifferentiated cell.
Like a stem cell.
Then, and then, not only that, but then they're going through another set of random gene mutations and converting back.
That's what they say.
So it's like if you saw a dog on the street and you're like, no, that's not a dog. It's actually a rabbit that got transformed into a dog.
And they give it time, it's going to change back.
Okay.
Yeah. So like, okay, sure, guy, whatever you say. But so basically looking at macrophages and the immune system is what we need to be looking at. And when permanent respiratory damage incurs in cells of the myeloid origin, so like macrophages, metastasis would be a potential outcome. It is not necessary to blame mutations or to invent complicated genetic regulatory systems to explain the phenomenon of metastasis. Energy through fermentation, which again is anaerobic, is the single most common hallmark of all cancer cells, including those with metastatic potential. This phenotype arises from mitochondrial dysfunction. Metastasis can arise in macrophage fusion hybrids, so basically a white blood cell that tries to eat a tumor cell, and when this cell sustains irreversible mitochondrial damage, metastasis is possible. And that's how the metabolic theory explains metastasis. It makes perfect sense to me. So again, this is just another nail in the coffin for the gene theory. Try and just look into how they explain metastasis, which is, again, is a major killer of cancer out there. It's complete BS. So why would you believe anything else they say? Like all their shit treatments, you know?
Well, it just seems like everything, every part of cancer is, I don't know, it's just completely random. It's like, how does cancer form in the first place? Just random gene mutations. So how does it spread? Even more random gene mutations. It's like, come on, like, you don't have any answers here?
No answers. And, I mean, again, what really frustrates me most, and Tom went through this, he has a story about it, but if you get cancer nowadays, you go to your doctor, you sit in a little office, like, hey, sorry, Joe, you know, you got lung cancer. good luck next time. You know, we're going to put you on these pills. We're going to give you this radiation, and hopefully it kills it. Your survival chances, X, Y, and Z. That is such a shit, like, explanation to me. Like, at least if we start thinking of, like, the metabolic theory, we can actually give people, like, things that they can take action. You know what I'm saying? Change your diet. Start working out. Cut out these processed foods. And it gives people a fighting chance. Nowadays, people are just told, like, oh, sorry, you know, it just happened by chance.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest things that the metabolic theory does is it at least tells you, like, oh, hey, avoid things that are going to damage your mitochondria even further.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really take care of your mitochondria. Because, honestly, we've talked about it a million times right now, that the basis of all, like, chronic diseases seems to be damaged mitochondria. So if you can increase the health of your mitochondria, you're going to help out your body in so many different ways. So it's like, if you could just figure out, okay, what's damaging my mitochondria? Okay, I'm going to stop doing that. And then I'm going to start doing things that will increase my mitochondrial health. It's like your life and your health would be better in so many ways.
So many ways. Yeah, exactly. And you want to know how to help your mitochondria? Lift some weights, eat some low-carb whole foods, get some sun, get good sleep. That's all it takes. It's really not that complicated, but that would be the first line of defense for cancer. And we did cover that more in detail on, like, the Keto for Cancer podcast. So if you want to, like, the literal mechanism of action for cancer and just the recommended treatments we actually would prescribe if somebody in our family got cancer, listen to that. But again, yeah, I think I'm done talking about cancer, really. Every time I read about it, it's very frustrating for me. But I obviously care about it because I can write long-ass papers about it. But it's just, it's very frustrating.
I know you keep saying this is going to be the last time, but I highly doubt it. Something will pop up in a couple months that'll bring us back to it.
I know, yeah. But yeah, I hope you guys learned something. Hope you guys liked it. That's, like I said, hopefully the last time I'm going to bring this topic up. I firmly believe in the metabolic theory of cancer, and hopefully I've presented a decent enough case for you to believe me as well. And like always, I have papers on the website, so please read them if you or anyone in your family is dealing with cancer, okay? And yeah, you can find all this information at TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, so feel free to reach out anytime.
Yes, please rate, review, subscribe, and or follow. I think it's Apple Podcasts that changed subscribe to follow.
Yeah.
A subscription means that you're paying for something, so all podcasts are free. So follow us there. You can find us basically where podcasts are found. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.